Welcome or welcome back to Purpose Church. My name is Eric, and our prayer is that today's message helps you connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God. Whatever your next step is with Jesus, we are here to walk with you because we love you, and most importantly, God loves you. We hope to see you in person, on social media, or at purposechurch.com. Now let's open our Bibles and see what God has for us. Well, good morning, Purpose Church. I am so excited to see all of you. And if we haven't got a chance to meet yet, my name is Eric, and I'm one of the pastors here. And I want to welcome you, whether you're joining us online or you're in person here, or you're out on the community terrace, or you're one of the families in the family room. I never give you a shout out, so I'm giving you a shout out. We love you. I am so glad all of you are here. And I just got home from Zambia a couple days ago, and I just want to share a message from the Zambian church. God is alive and on the move. God is doing some incredible things, and through your missionaries, through your global partners that your giving and generosity goes to support, on behalf of them, they love you, and they are so grateful that we get to partner in ministry together, even though we're on other parts of the globe. And I have been looking forward to telling you what I told all of them every chance I got. Niku kondani na mlungu aku kondani. Which, what does that mean? It's in their language of Nyanja, and it means I love you, and most importantly, God loves you. And so let's open our Bibles together to John chapter 15. I'm excited to spend a little bit of time talking about our time in Africa, our time in Zambia, and the next Sunday I'll spend probably a little bit more time talking about our time in Zimbabwe. But let's open our Bibles together to John chapter 15. And while you're opening John chapter 15, I was excited this morning to give a little update on our contemporary worship pastor, Pastor Larry, who happens to be in the house right now with his amazing wife, Gifty. And we're just so glad you guys are here. And so many in your church family have been asking about how you're doing. And we want to make sure we gave you all an update. Pastor Larry's surgery was a success. Praise God. He is continuing to heal. And we want to make sure that he heals, that his vocal cords correctly heal. And so we are, you know, he is taking more time to heal. He has been cleared to have like a couple minute conversations. So if you come up and try to talk to him, Gifty's going to be timing you, okay? Gifty's, you know, you've got to get to the point because Gifty's going to be watching that. But I just wanted to encourage you, church family, to continue to pray for them, to continue to lift them up. We've talked about how much they are feeling your love. Would you just continue to pray for them as Pastor Larry continues to heal, as he continues to use his voice and all the gifts God has given him to advance his kingdom? And so let's pray, be praying for Gifty, be praying for Larry. And one more time, can we just let these two know that we love them? Let everyone know we love you guys so much. Okay, so a couple months ago, I called two families in our church, the Albrigos and the Burks. And I gave them a call because they know how to do gardening. They're like master gardeners. Raise your hand if you're like the gardening person. Like, you know how to take care of the trees, the weeds, the flowers, all that stuff. I've told you, I'm about as handy as a newborn baby, okay? Like, I just can't do my very few gifts, if any. So I just got very limited. And we have these trees in our backyard. And I didn't know what they were. I'm like, maybe it's an orange tree, a lemon tree, it's a poisonous tree. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know what it is, but we got some avocado maybe. And it seemed like they maybe weren't doing so well. And so we invited the Burks and the Albrigos over. And we have a picture of us. This was all of our family gathered together. And Steve Albrigo started leading us in this devotional of how like gardening is just like our relationship with God. And we're gonna look at it in our text in John chapter 15. And then he started to show me about pruning, like you gotta cut the trees. And I'm out there with like little scissors, and he's got these big old, you know, things, whatever, I don't even know what they're called. And so he's gardening. Then Randy's looking at one of our trees and trying to dissect it and tell me what's going on. And then I said, hey, Randy, let me ask you a question. Our water bill seems really high. Like, are we watering the lawn as much as we should be? And he's like, well, how often are you watering? I'm like, well, like, we water every day for like multiple minutes, like a lot. And he's like, bro, you're overwatering. And I'm like, Randy, you can't overwater grass. That's what it needs. You don't over, and he's like, no, you don't know anything. You actually can overwater grass. It needs oxygen. It needs the sunlight. We end up having a little meal together as a family with some of the fruits from their garden. And it was just this incredible experience where I was reminded something like gardening and taking care of trees takes a lot of intentionality, and we need to be thoughtful about it, and it kind of reminds me of discipleship, of following Jesus. In fact, today, as we look at John chapter 15, we're gonna see that just like breathing keeps you physically alive, remaining in Jesus keeps you spiritually alive. And today, you're all breathing. Good job, you're breathing. But my question is, are you remaining? Are you remaining connected and close to Jesus? Because today, we're continuing our series, The Upper Room. We're with Jesus as he's spending the last couple hours that he has with his disciples before he will go to be betrayed, before he will go to be crucified, before he will rise from the dead and then ultimately ascend to be with the Father, leaving the vision and the mission of the expansion of the kingdom of God in the hands of the disciples that he has raised up, who will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. But before all that, Jesus spends a couple hours telling his disciples the most important things they need to never forget. And today, the word Jesus has for us is remain, the secret to following Jesus. And really, it's not just even the secret to following Jesus, it is the secret to living. And in our time together in John 15, we're gonna see five truths from Jesus that will help us remain in Jesus. Our first big idea, what Jesus says about you is the most important thing about you. John 15, beginning in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. The word remain shows up so many times here in John chapter 15. In fact, the word remain is the Greek word meno, which means an intentional and ongoing relational connection, and Jesus means a connection with him. The word remain is used 11 times in the first 10 verses of John 15, 40 times in the entire Gospel of John, and 27 times in John's three epistles. This means whether the word remain is coming from the mouth of Jesus or it's coming from the apostle John, the one who walked with Jesus, the idea of remaining with Jesus is absolutely central to what it means to have a relationship with God. And that is what he is after. You see, when we remain with Jesus, when we remain connected relationally with Jesus, he plants seeds in our hearts that the Holy Spirit will grow. The Holy Spirit wants to grow you and I to become more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more patient, more kind, more full of goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit that the Apostle Paul talked about. The kind of things that the Holy Spirit grows and develops in us as remaining in Jesus plants those seeds. There was a conference speaker who, I was at a conference recently, and this speaker just made this comment. He said when he was in his early 20s, he got his pilot's license. And one day he was leaving his parents' house and he said, bye mom, I'm going to fly. And his mom, who must've been like really witty and quick, she responded to him and she said, you can't fly. She said, you can't fly. You can only participate in flying. Humans can't fly. We participate in flying. You see, the spiritual metaphor is this. You and I can't become spiritually transformed. You and I can't become more like Christ in our own strength. We are incapable of that. But what we do when we remain connected to Jesus is we participate with God as he transforms us and shapes us into his image. Now, the fruit that comes from a life of remaining in Jesus isn't earned. It's developed by the Holy Spirit, but it must start where Jesus says it starts. You are clean because of his words. Some of us experience a kind of relationship with God where we are constantly trying to earn his love. We are constantly through our works trying to prove ourselves to him. But Jesus says it doesn't work like that. In fact, that's how every other religion works. Every other religion is a story of you climbing the ladder, doing X, Y, and Z. And if you do enough, God will love you. God will accept you. But the gospel, the one true story of the one true God, the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, is that he came down for us. He gave us that which we cannot earn. And so, friends, the life of living in the grace and love of God is one of not trying to earn, but responding. As we remain in Jesus, we are simply responding to his incredible love for us. Most nights when I tuck my kids into bed, I'll have them like repeat these little sayings. I can't help it as a pastor. I just come up with these little sayings and I have children who have to do what I say. So they repeat these things that I tell them. And one of the things that I have them repeat every single night when we're tucking them into bed is this important phrase to me. It comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where the Apostle Paul says, "You are God's masterpiece." But I don't know about you, there are times where I don't feel like a masterpiece. I feel like a master mess up. I feel like a master screw up. But God says that you are a masterpiece in Christ, that when you receive his love, not try to earn it, you become his masterpiece, even when you don't feel like it. And so I want to actually have a moment with you where I want you to repeat these words after me, okay? We're going to kind of practice this, and maybe this would be helpful for you to just remind yourself of God's truth, of what he has spoken over you. You are clean, not because you feel clean. You are clean because of what he said and what he has done for you. You are his masterpiece, whether you feel like it or not. And so would you repeat after me? I am. God's masterpiece. Even when I don't feel like a masterpiece. Now this week, when you're with your life group, I want to encourage you to wrestle with this question. Why does Jesus describe himself as the vine and us as the branches? And how should that influence and shape the way we remain in him? And number two, you were designed to be forever connected to Jesus. Verse 4, here's our word again, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In Nyanja, the language they speak in Zambia, the word is kulibe. You can do nothing. You can do kulibe apart from Jesus. Verses 8 and 9. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus is like, look, you can do, you can try, you can look for things of this world to satisfy you. But nothing will satisfy you if you are disconnected from Jesus. Richard Foster put it this way: superficiality is the curse of our age. The doctrine of instant gratification is a primary spiritual problem. The desperate need today is not for a great number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. God wants to take you deep in your discipleship and your relationship with him. God wants to take you in the deep end of his love. God wants to take you in the deep end of what it means to involve him and make him the Lord and center of every single relationship in your life. God wants you to go deep with him in Christ. But that only happens when we remain in him. There's that African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, you must go together. God wants to go farther with you. You have not arrived yet spiritually. I have not arrived yet spiritually. We are not just kind of counting down the minutes until heaven someday. God wants to go deeper in his relationship with you, but you can't get there in your own strength. You could do nothing of spiritual, eternal significance apart from Christ. In fact, I want to invite you as we prepare for Holy Week. So next Sunday is Palm Sunday. That's the week before we celebrate Good Friday and then Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. Our team here at Purpose Church, our Next Steps team, has created a Holy Week devotional for all of us. A very simple, engaging, dynamic, devotional experience for college roommates, for couples, for families, for individuals. An experience for us to prepare our hearts to go deep as we anticipate and as we experience Jesus Christ and what he did in his sacrifice for our sins and through his resurrection. And so we've got physical copies out at the Easter tables. I want to encourage you to get those. You can also scan this QR code. There's a digital version of it. I want to encourage you to check that out. Now, did you notice how in verse 8, Jesus says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Jesus didn't say, "My disciples will be evident and be displayed through their checking a box on a survey." He said, "My disciples will bear fruit." In other words, the evidence of being a disciple is bearing fruit. And so really, when it comes to praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ, of course we pray for healing. Of course we pray for safety. Of course we pray that things would work out in our lives according to how we want them to work out. But more than anything, if you really love a believer in Christ, the most important thing you should be praying is that their life would bear fruit. And that if they're making decisions, if they're living in sin, if they're engaging in a relationship in such a way that is not bearing fruit for the kingdom of God, that the Holy Spirit would reveal that to them. And that they would fully trust him, because God's desire for every single one of us who calls ourselves followers of Jesus is that we would bear fruit. And your skills and your talents alone won't bear spiritual fruit, but remaining in Jesus will every time. Some of you may struggle with a distorted view of God like I do sometimes, where I think that my talents is all that I have to do what God's called me to do, and that I need to impress God. The truth is, God would love to use your skills and your talents, but it must come first with you remaining connected to him. And when you remain connected to him, he bears fruit in ways you didn't even plan. A couple summers ago, I was speaking to a junior high camp, to a group of junior high students, a summer camp. And so as I was preparing, you know, leading up to that camp, and as I was even preaching, I was thinking, okay, I've been tasked with preaching to junior high students, so I'm trying to make the gospel understandable to junior high students. I'm trying to come up with illustrations for junior high students. I'm trying to throw in 6, 7 as much as I can. Like, I'm trying to connect with the junior high students, and so I'm, you know, trying to go after that. And when it came to decision night, I shared the gospel and gave an invitation for any of these junior high students to stand and receive Christ, and then I noticed this woman in the back, this mom in the back, just stand up. And so afterwards, I went to some of the youth pastors and I said, "Hey, I noticed there was a woman, like a mom in the back, that stood up. What do you know what that was about?" And this youth pastor said, "Yeah, so crazy story. One of our students in our church invited his friend who doesn't know Jesus to come to this summer camp, but his mom, who also doesn't know Jesus, is like, 'Hey, I don't know what these weird Christians do, so I'm not gonna just send my kid to this camp, so I'll go if you'll let me chaperone.' And I don't think we would do that on purpose, but they decided to do that. And this mom shows up to supervise her child and ends up giving her life to Christ." Remaining in Jesus is what you and I were designed for. And here's the thing, no matter what age or stage you're in right now, Jesus loves you. This is for somebody. Verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." This is the agape word we talked about a couple weeks ago. This is this unending, unconditional love, this sacrificial, God-glorifying love. Jesus demonstrated his love for us in that he died for you and I while we were still sinners. "Now remain in my love." When we were in Zambia, we had the opportunity to go visit Victoria Falls. It's one of the seven natural wonders of the world. It's literally the longest stretch. They call it the longest curtain of waterfall in the history of the world. It's a mile long, and the water is just flooding over the Victoria Falls, and there's mist rising up high into the sky. It is so overwhelming. And as I was there a couple days ago, as I was looking at this, I just had this experience where I felt like God was going, this is like my grace and my love for you. That is so overwhelming. It's so massive. And you know what you're like, Eric? You're like a little teacup in the bottom of the Victoria Falls. And some of you have convinced yourself, and you would never believe this for somebody else, but for some reason you believe it for yourself, that God's grace has run out for you. That he has turned off the tap for grace over your life, that there is no hope for you. And I'm here today to remind you of the gospel good news that is this: God's grace and love for you will never run out. That he loves you. I just talked with a student in the last service who came in, and she said, I don't know why, last night I texted my godmother and just said, I think I need to go to church. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here and you haven't been in church for a really long time and you're like, this Jesus thing is for people who are like always here. I'm not always here. Maybe I got to earn my way back. No. God loves you. And his grace for you is like the Victoria Falls. It's just all encompassing and overwhelming. Number three, loving Jesus means loving and obeying his word. Verses 10 and 11, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. So the first step, always the first step to remaining in God's love is keeping his commands. So if he commands something clearly in scripture and you're not keeping that command, then you are intentionally not remaining in his love. So step one to remaining in God's love is you've got to obey and follow his word. And then look at what this says. This is so cool. Remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And then look at what Jesus said in verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Do you hear what Jesus said? Jesus said, I want you to have joy. And yet some of us, we think God is a kill joy. Some of us walk around and we're like, we don't even smile. We're legalists. We've somehow fallen into this trap of thinking that anything that could possibly make us happy, that God is so against it. No, God is actually interested in your complete joy. The world wants to give you a taste, a counterfeit joy that will ultimately leave you empty. And sometimes we look at that and we go, oh man, the world, they get to do this with their boyfriend and girlfriend. They get to move in together. They get to have this. They get to focus all on money and make all this money. And Jesus is like, bro, I want your complete joy. I want more joy for you than you could ever imagine. But here's the lie of the world. The world says your complete joy will come from you disobeying God and doing whatever you want to do. That's bankrupt emptiness. Jesus says, I want your complete joy, and it comes from obeying and trusting me. I dare you to try this. I double dog dare you. Junior hires are triple dog dare you. Do this. Take a month and just say, okay, God, I'm gonna actually do what you say. I'm gonna follow you. I'm gonna remain close to you. See what kind of joy he wants to provide for you. For Jesus, his greatest joy came from trusting and following the Father. Our greatest joy will come from trusting Jesus and following God's word, obeying it. It always strikes me when I think about the book of James. The book of James is a letter in the New Testament. It was written by the brother of Jesus, the guy who had access to like Jesus's whole childhood, his preteen years. Had access to all of his life. And wouldn't it have been fascinating for James to spend his whole letter going, let me tell you stories about Jesus you never heard of. Let me tell you facts about Jesus that you never knew. But what does he do? Essentially what James says is, bro, do what Jesus said. Just do it. In fact, James, he goes on record to say, don't deceive yourself and merely hear the word. Be a doer of the word. Why would he say that? Well, because Jesus, in his great commission to you and I, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. Not just teaching them more information. Information isn't bad. Information is good. But information, godly, biblical, discipleship, Christ-like information, produces something in us. We obey God. We were at in Zambia, we had the privilege and the opportunity to be a part of a Christian leaders conference. Pastor Gift, who we'll show a photo of, this is Pastor Gift and his wife, Dio Pfister. In fact, they're watching, love you guys, we love you guys. This is Pastor Gift, one of our missionaries out in Livingston, Zambia. This is an amazing couple, amazing family. They've planted several churches. They've got this new area that they just got. It's an incredible place. There's gonna be so much ministry. And God is using this couple. And Pastor Gift, he gathered together a bunch of pastors from the area, bringing them all together to worship together and to talk about Christian leadership. And Pastor Gift, he said, Eric, I'd love for you to speak at it. And I said, great, I'd be so honored. How many minutes do you want me to speak for? And he said, Pastor Eric, would you speak for 2 hours? And I said, oh, Pastor Gift, the good people of Purpose Church are always asking me to preach for 2 hours. This is a very normal experience for me. And so I'm totally comfortable with that. And it was just a powerful time of connecting with these ministry leaders who are so eager. And one of the things that we talked about, I asked Pastor Gift, I said, what do you feel like the American church could learn from the African church? And he said, you know, in the African church, we highly value community. Like really being connected to each other and connected to Christ. And so we got to sing. Well, actually, and here's the thing, Pastor Gift, you're going to see him singing in a moment. I got to apologize. African lead pastors are just better than American lead pastors. Number one, he preaches better than me. Number two, he sings better than me. Number three, he looks better than me. And so you're stuck with me. You don't get him. You're stuck with me. But you're going to see him leading his congregation in worship. And I want you to just enjoy the volume at which these Christian leaders are worshiping the Lord. Let's watch this together. Here's some of our team. We had the opportunity to speak at some of these events. Our team got together and we can keep cycling through those. We just had an amazing time. This was a young man who we gave that shirt to a couple years ago, and here he brought it back. Karen, one of our trustees, was speaking about leadership. Rosalie was sharing a little bit about mental health within the church. It was incredible. We can go to the next photo. This was some of the youth leading worship, which is incredible. This is one of my favorite photos. That's Pastor Shyam right there, dude. He's the guy. He is an amazing global missions pastor just holding this baby during one of the sessions. It was absolutely incredible. I think we have one more photo. This was our whole team out there. And it was such a privilege to see what God was up to as these leaders are obeying and loving God's word. Number four, Jesus meets our greatest needs for love and purpose. Verses 13 to 16, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. We thrive. Humans thrive when we are loved and when we have a purpose. And because Jesus created every single one of you, he knows that about you. He created you with that, and he offers that to you. That he offers you his love. He has laid down his life for you, and he has given you a purpose to go and bear fruit. You see, in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, it says it this way, Jesus appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. And some of you may be driven like me to go and do and do and do and do, but before Jesus ever calls you to go and do, he's calling you to be with him so that you might know his immense, incredible love for you and be fueled for his purpose. And then number 5, Jesus will send us the Holy Spirit to comfort and call us forward. Verse 26, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. 2 times Jesus uses this word, testify. The Holy Spirit will testify, and you must testify. The Greek word there is martureo. It's where we get our English word martyr from. In other words, Jesus says, part of testifying is sacrifice. When you testify to God's love, it can be costly. And I want to ask you this question this morning. What are you willing to sacrifice to testify to God's love? Are you willing to sacrifice financially? Are you willing to sacrifice some of your time? Are you willing to sacrifice a relationship that you're not sure how they're going to respond if you tell them, hey, I think we're kind of living in sin here and I got to testify to God's amazing grace and his love? Are you worried about how people would think about you in your neighborhood or in your workplace? Here's the good news. Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit is always with you. But here's the challenge. You are always on mission. So when you go on vacation, you're not off mission. You can't just treat people however you want to. When you're at work and you go, well, I'm not at church, I can say these words here. No. You're always on mission. The Holy Spirit's always with you, and you are always on mission testifying. Now, there's traps that keep us from testifying. There's the trap of people-pleasing versus God-pleasing. Ephesians 5:10, and find out what pleases the Lord. Christianity following Jesus is not that complicated. Find out if it pleases the Lord. If it pleases the Lord, do it. If it doesn't please the Lord, I don't care if it makes financial sense, don't do it. If cheating, if disobeying, if choosing selfishness doesn't please the Lord, don't do it. Find out what pleases the Lord. The other temptation we fall into is we are just jealous to be like everyone else. 1 Samuel chapter 8, and the Lord told him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, God says. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. See, this is the same temptation every single one of us fall into. We want to be like everyone else. But can I remind you of what Jesus just told us? He wants your complete joy. What he has to offer you is significantly, eternally better than what anyone else or the world has to offer you. But what keeps us from testifying? We want to have what everyone else has. We want to look like and be like everyone else, but you were not designed to be like that. You were designed to be connected, to remain in Jesus. How do you do this? You testify. Testifying is a personal message of transformation. Some of you are caught up on the fact, well, my testimony doesn't feel that compelling. I didn't have this crazy past before I met Jesus. If you had a crazy past before you met Jesus, glory to God that he has redeemed that and that is a part of your testimony and that's incredible. But some of you go, I didn't have this crazy past. You know what you still had? Disobedience. You are still living in sin. You're still saved by God's grace. And what makes a testimony powerful is not all the stuff that you did to mess up your life before Christ came in your life. Anybody can do that. What makes a testimony powerful is all the ways God has bore fruit from your life by the power of his Spirit. A testimony gives glory to God and focuses on all that he has done. And when you get that opportunity, the Holy Spirit's gonna call you forward to be bold. I just wanna highlight two examples. There's a seventh grader here in our church, his name is Zach Tovar. And Zach is an awesome young man. He ended up on the Pomona Bulletin front cover of the magazine, okay? And this is a kid in our church right here. He's amazing. Check out what he said inside the article that was printed in the magazine. A dedicated and respectful athlete, he leads by example both on and off the field. Some of my favorite things about Ted Green are the community and the park itself. Zachary shares, I enjoy playing video games, talking with friends, and serving at Purpose Church. That's cool. You guys, for a seventh grade boy, serving at church is the equivalent of Fortnite. That's a win. We're winning, okay? We're doing okay. I mean, he could have said anything, but he talks about what gives him life is serving and bearing fruit in Christ. I think about a memorial service that I had the opportunity to officiate for the Watsons, for Susie and for Lori and the family. And this woman right here, Susie, is just an amazing, incredible, godly woman. And when she was at City Hope, when she was out of her hospitals, when she was in her living center, she had these little mini Jesus figurines. And she would like pass these out to all the nurses. And she would tell them how she was praying for them. And when I went to visit her, I had the opportunity to read some scripture to her. And I was reading Psalm 23 to her. And towards the end, I was getting so excited about your love will follow me all the days of my life and I'll be with you forever. And I looked up, I was really excited. I said, Susie, this is such an amazing verse. And she was asleep, just asleep. And then when she woke up, she kind of felt bad. And I said, it's okay. People fall asleep during my sermons all the time. It's all right, Susie. I'm very comfortable with it. I'm very normal. I'm used to it. And then I asked her, I said, Susie, what is the last time I got to see Susie? I said, what could I pray for? What do you want me to pray for? And she said, Eric, would you pray for the lost? Would you pray for the lost? Up until her last breath here on planet Earth, the Holy Spirit was calling her forward and she was stepping into it. What story do you want your life to tell? What story is your life telling right now? Is it a story of remaining in Jesus or is it doing whatever you want to do? We've got an amazing opportunity to tell the best story in the history of the world together. In two Sundays, it's Easter Sunday. It's our Super Bowl. It's the big day. And Easter Sunday is the day where we declare Jesus is alive, the tomb is empty, and this year we're focusing on a second chance. And I've told you this before, I'm giving you a trailer of where I'm going in my message because I don't want to surprise you. I want you to be thinking and praying right now, who needs a second chance in your life? Who has God put in your life? And I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you with us, the Holmstrom family, be bold, testify, invite people. Get the yard sign, put it in your yard. Get the flyers, hand them out. Put the bumper stickers on your car. Purpose Church, I want to see a lot more bumper stickers in the parking lot, okay? No judgment, I'm just judging you. I just want to see more bumper stickers in the parking lot. Because as you're driving throughout all the cities that you're a part of, there are people wondering, what am I going to do for Easter this year? There's still an openness in our culture to celebrate Easter. Maybe this would be the Easter. And I know some of you, you had your lives changed at Easter. Would you invite somebody? And those bumper stickers, I told you a couple weeks ago that I'd give a prize to whoever had, you know, the most bumper stickers out. I got a call from one of our high school students here at Purpose Church, Josiah Williams. And he just sent me this video. This is what he chose to do. Let's watch this together.
Hey, Pastor Eric, I know you said there was a prize for whoever had the most bumper stickers on, so there's one, two, three, and second. We got four, and then five right here. So,
yeah,
that's five bumper stickers. I don't know what the prize is, but I think I won.
So, full disclosure, I don't know what the prize is either, okay? I don't know what the prize is either, but there's gonna be a prize. Here's the thing. And he put two more on. He's got seven bumper stickers on his family van, traveling all around. People are like, dude, that guy's crazy for Easter. If Jesus rose from the dead, everybody's gotta know. Everybody's gotta know. Research shows 82% of people would come to an Easter service if they were only invited. Would you testify? Would you invite? And would you serve? We're gonna have thousands of people here Easter weekend. But it's gonna take hundreds of us to serve. And so I wanna encourage you, go to Purpose Church or go to easterwithpurpose.com. Sign up to serve. You can download a little Easter invite that we'll be putting up this week. And let's expect that God is gonna do something great. And so church, let's remain in Jesus. It's the secret to following Jesus, and it's the secret to life. And then let's pray, God, would you bear fruit and do what only you can do? Would you stand with me as we worship Jesus? We love you, God. We praise you. We celebrate you. We are so grateful for the opportunity to be back together with you and just ask, Holy Spirit, that as we sing at the top of our lungs from the bottom of our hearts, that you would be pleased and that we would please you, God. And help us every day to remain in you. And would you bear fruit? Because we can do nothing apart from you. But when we remain in you, anything and everything is possible. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.